is Matt Connickson. I'm a sales agronomist with CHX Ag Services in Oakley, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHX Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Time for farm news on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Don Wick with Jamie Dickerman in studio. A frost advisory is in effect for northern Minnesota counties until 8 o'clock this morning. After the frost, a low pressure system will bring steady rain to the area. The precipitation will begin in northeastern North Dakota late this morning, move through the Red River Valley by midday, and spread across the rest of the area this afternoon. Rain will continue into the evening, tapering off early tomorrow, with some areas receiving up to half an inch. Temps will remain in the 40s in the north and east, 50s in the south and west, with northwest winds making it feel cooler. Tomorrow will stay unseasonably cool, morning lows again in the 30s to low 40s. Patchy fog is possible. Saturday and Sunday will be transitional with morning lows in the 30s to near 40s and frost again possible. Long-term trends indicate a return to seasonal averages by the second week of September with morning lows in the 50s and highs back in the 70s. Late week days could see low 80s with a chance of rain returning by late in the week. End on overnight lows include Botno this morning at 32 degrees, right at the freezing mark. Cavalier, 33 degrees. Grafton, 34. Both Jamestown and Langdon report 35.
World Weather Incorporated says the frost and freeze potential across the north central U.S. and neighboring Canadian prairies may be more widespread and intense than first thought. Forecast models now pointing to three waves of Arctic air pooling into a deep low pressure system over Ontario, preventing temperatures from moderating. As a result, freezes becoming more likely in Saskatchewan, Manitoba, North Dakota, Minnesota, northern Wisconsin, and Michigan. While most U.S. freezes are expected to be light and brief, World Weather says the risk of broad-based frost is high, could extend as far south as northern Iowa.
With that strong cold front, USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey says much of the region will see lows in the mid-30s to low 40s.
At this point, we are not expecting any widespread freeze. Some of our traditional colder spots, especially in the upper Great Lakes region, primarily well north of the corn and soybean belt, may experience sub-freezing temperatures. We should stay safe with the corn and soybeans that remain immature across that region. If we do see temperatures near the freezing mark, some of the colder areas, the soybean fields, you might see some burn back of the leaves on the tops and the edges of the field, but overall, we do not expect a season-ending freeze.
Rippey adds that a second cold front later in the week could bring slightly more widespread cold to the region.
A second cold front moving through at the end of the week and then bringing in cold air for the weekend. That outbreak looks to be a little bit broader. We do expect to see near to slightly above freezing temperatures widespread across the northern plains into the upper Midwest and eventually the northeast, starting Friday morning in the northern high plains and then extending to the Midwest for the weekend.
As expected, the Trump administration has asked the Supreme Court to intervene in a lower court ruling dealing with the president's authority to impose tariffs. An expedited ruling from the high court is being sought. This fast-track request is unusual but not unprecedented. The court is not scheduled to meet in person until the end of this month and has no obligation to hear the case.
With a big soybean crop on the horizon, China has not yet purchased any U.S. soybeans this season. North Dakota Soybean Growers Association President Justin Sherlock says the local market is encouraging farmers to store their beans.
It's almost like the Wild Wild West. We're hearing all different things from different elevators. And I think it just depends on each elevator has its own unique situation, just like every farmer is going to have their own unique situation this harvest, you know.
China is the world's number one buyer of soybeans. Without a resolution to the current trade issues with China, there could be a long-term ramification for agriculture.
You know, I think that becomes a bigger problem, too, as you look at 2026. What if we're still sitting on a massive 2025 crop and we're going into 2026, not sure what to plant either? So this is potentially, if we don't resolve some of the trade issues and get these customers back, that's my concern for both the farmer and the elevator is, this could turn a one-year problem of a crop that we're not moving into a two-, three-, four-year problem. And now we're talking about an extended downturn in the farm economy and a problem for the lenders and everybody, too. So this thing could get a lot bigger if we don't resolve some stuff soon.
National Corn Growers Association says farmers are facing an economic crisis as corn prices continue to slide while input costs remain near record highs. Production costs for corn have only dropped about 3% since 2022. Prices have fallen more than 50% in that same period. Even with higher yields, NCGA warning farmers will struggle to offset these costs and is calling on Congress and the administration to act, including efforts to expand ethanol use and foreign market access. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. Deputy Agriculture Secretary Stephen Vaden has hinted a bridge payment may be necessary to get farmers the funding needed to plant a crop in 2026. North Dakota Soybean Council Chair Jim Thompson would rather see a response from the market.
There's no spot on your income statement for a possible payment. That's not acceptable. You're going to have soybeans on your balance sheet in storage valued at what, who knows, but it's not, that's not money available to spend until you can get those beans sold. So, you know, guys that were producers that were, you know, on the edge last spring and a little nervous, I think there's going to be a lot of trepidation going in this fall and winter and figuring out how are we going to make this look good enough to be funded for another year.
Net farm income is projected to rise in 2025. USDA research economist Carrie Lutkowski says this marks a rebound after 2 years of decline.
Most of the expected increase in farm income is coming from higher cash receipts from the sale of animal and animal products. And also, we expect higher payment from government programs to farmers in 2025.
Lutkowski noting much of the government assistance coming from supplemental and ad hoc disaster programs helping farmers recover from previous loss.
Specifically, it's reflecting payments that were appropriated in the American Relief Act of 2025 that was for economic and disaster assistance for losses that were incurred by farmers in 2023 and 2024. So this includes both payments that have already been made in 2025, as well as additional anticipated payments made under programs such as the Emergency Commodity Assistance, Emergency Livestock Relief, and Supplemental Disaster Relief Programs.
A hearing convened by the U.S. Trade Representative's Office and the International Trade Commission was investigating Brazilian trade practices. The Section 301 investigation is considering if Brazil's action is an unfair trade barrier to the United States. National Cattlemen's Beef Association Executive Director of Government Affairs, Kent Baucus, testified, asking the White House to suspend beef imports from Brazil until food safety and animal health issues are addressed. National Corn Growers Association President Kenneth Hartman Jr. said Brazilian policies unfairly penalize U.S. corn growers. Ethanol groups, including Growth Energy and the Renewable Fuels Association, claim Brazil enjoyed access to the U.S. market for ethanol but imposes unfair requirements on the United States.
Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney plans to take a personal role in trade negotiations with China. China imposed a preliminary tariff of nearly 76% on Canadian canola seed last month. China claims Canada dumped canola in the Chinese market below its actual costs, which hurt its domestic canola oil market. However, the Canadian government believes this is a retaliation over Canada's 100% tariffs on Chinese electric vehicles.
Canola growers in North Dakota are seeing more disease pressure this year, with verticillium stripe emerging as the biggest concern. Langdon NDSU Extension plant pathologist Venkat Chopra says verticillium has now been confirmed across North Dakota.
The major disease now we are seeing is verticillium stripe. Last year we have done the surveys and out of 18 major canola growing counties, it's in all the counties. This year, you know, it could be the number one disease.
Chopra says the severity of infections depends heavily on weather conditions during the growing season.
Out of all the counties we surveyed, every county has this disease. And the infection levels vary based on the environment. If you have a higher rainfalls in the start of the season, it's a soil-borne pathogen, and it infects the roots early in the stage of canola crop. If you have that, at that stage, you have good rainfall and good growing system, you will see higher incidences than normal dry years.
Some good news for the U.S. dairy industry. Exports surged in June, accounting for 18.7% of domestic milk solids production, the highest level since 2022. At the same time, U.S. fluid milk sales were up slightly from a year ago, while yogurt consumption saw a double-digit increase. Overall domestic use of milk solids rising 3% year over year, and even with higher milk production in the second quarter, stocks of major dairy products holding steady. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Farmers will be seeing significant enhancements to crop insurance for the 2026 growing season. That one big beautiful bill included improvements to the area-based coverage. That includes additional premium support for supplemental coverage options and the enhanced coverage option. Watson Associates, head of crop insurance development, Kyle Jory, says this is a critical update for the risk management plan.
Yeah, we've had really good crop insurance participation at the individual level, but a lot of people will buy up maybe at the 75% range, maybe they'll go to 80%. These area-based coverages has been increasing. I'd say we have pretty strong participation in the South Dakota region, but Minnesota, North Dakota, not quite as much. So hopefully this will make it significantly more affordable and encourage more farmers to purchase these products.
A new crop insurance product called Margin Coverage Option will be available for 26.
We are currently in price discovery for that right now. That will end here on the 15th. And then be available for sale. So if a person does want to lock in some of that early margin here in the fall, that would be on the 86 to 95% band of coverage.
The plant genetics firm GDM has finalized its acquisition of AgReliant Genetics. With this deal, GDM grows its presence as the global leader in soybean genetics and becomes the fourth largest corn genetics provider in the world. The list of seed brands in the GDM portfolio now includes Mustang, AgriGold, LG Seeds, and more.
A day after avian influenza was confirmed in South Dakota, the North Dakota Department of Agriculture reports a similar case. A commercial turkey flock in North Dakota's Dickey County has been depopulated. Before these confirmations in South Dakota and North Dakota, highly pathogenic avian influenza has not been found in the U.S. commercial poultry flock since early July as birds begin fall migration. These reports not seen as a surprise. We have some red on the screen this morning, down 1.5 for Minneapolis wheat. The D's contract at 571.5. Chicago wheat for December, 6.75 down, 5.75 lower for hard red winter wheat. The September corn, 1.75 lower, 3.96. New crop down a penny. Soybeans, 4 cents lower for September, 10.12. And new crop soybeans, 10.25 1/4. That's down by 6.25 cents. Next week, of course, the Big Iron Farm Show. We encourage you to join us Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday in the Red River Farm Network building. A full slate of forums. You can go to our website, rrfn.com. Go to the Big Iron tab, and you'll see that full schedule. See what market analysts will be there. Bill Beam, the administrator of the Farm Service Agency nationwide, coming from USDA to West Fargo for the first time for this event. Do join us. This is the Red River Farm Network.